Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to a Mick Jagger edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. It has been said, and it is correct, you can't always get what you want. But thank God for Mississippi for providing the bounce-back opponent that the Tide needed after losses this season. In fairness, Ole Miss provided a legit fight. But again, what the Tide needed. Not a cozy bedfellow, but an opponent not afraid to punch you in the mouth. An opponent demanding a respectful response against the very real threat of an embarrassing afternoon. In that light, Alabama's 30-24 win over Ole Miss offered lots to like while reminding us that there's much work still to be done. All right, let's take a look at offense just like we do, and we're going to start with Bryce again. I think it's a law you have to. For me, Bryce played like a carton of Neapolitan ice cream. There were some good, but you just can't escape the strawberry. It's there, and it sort of impacts the flavor of the chocolate and vanilla, right? You know, Bryce passed for only 209 yards, not a big day. And there were, and perhaps are, persisting questions about his accuracy on the day, as well as his arm strength, which I don't think is a talent. His accuracy and his arm strength are not talent-related. They're injury-related. He appears to still, you know, not be healthy. However, he had three touchdown passes on the day, and they were some of the most brilliant passes I think you'll ever see. The RPO to Jermaine Burton, remember him, Jermaine Burton, to open up the scoring, the Alabama scoring, was phenomenal. The inside slant to Cameron Latou is just a beautiful concept, design, and execution. And then finding Ja'Cory Brooks in the back of the end zone for the big touchdown, again, was just another spectacular play. Also enjoyed Bryce lighting fires under asses on the sideline. Saban enjoyed it so much that he went over to roast some weenies himself. And the offense really seemed to play better after that. Is that probably 6 weeks too late? Yeah, I'll say it is. But it's what the team needed. Again, sort of sticking with that theme. The standard isn't to roll over and hope you know, that next year will just be easier, that people will take it easy on Alabama and let us win the title again. That's not what the standard is. The standard is to stand up, to step up and play the next play and the next play and the next play and the next play. And Saban even said, going into half, the team wasn't concerned about the score. They didn't talk about the score. They talked about going out after half and playing the next play and playing the next play and letting the chips sort of fall where they may. And that's exactly what happened. Was it beautiful? No. Was it spectacular? In its way, in its own way, it really, really was. It's a lesson, I think, for this team for the remaining three games of this season. And I think the demonstration of urgency is something that can roll over and rub off on the players that will be on next year's team. So is it a pivotal moment? Yeah, I think it was. I think it can be, and it still can be into the future again this season, as well as for some of the younger players to realize we've got to plant our foot in the ground and pivot. We have the agency over the circumstance. And I think there's power that comes into that. So that was a big moment. Let's talk about the wide receivers. We mentioned them. Ja'Cory Brooks continues to emerge again. Not to toot our horns, but we called earlier in the season that we thought he looked like he was going to be the guy. And more and more he continues to be it. He had four catches on the day for 61 yards. And again, a very nice touchdown. He seems to rack up very nice touchdowns. He and there's almost a symbiotic when Bryce is scrambling. Ja'Cory knows where to go, and he seems to be a friendly target in that regard. Jermaine Burton, we kidded, but we kid because it's true. Where's he been? And so he had five catches for 50 yards and a touchdown, which was very, very nice. I'd like to see more of him as we continue these last couple of games. And Kendrick Law, I'm really excited about Kendrick Law, and I'm especially excited what Coach said about Kendrick Law. Kendrick had three catches for 26 yards, and so nothing truly spectacular about that. But here's a true freshman that has been dinged up, and he continues to work hard. And he's a player that Coach, in the sort of the hey coach last Thursday, the Thursday before the game, you know, Coach said, hey, this is a guy that's worked really, really hard, continues to work really, really hard, would like to see him get more of an opportunity. Again, so, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, right? So he does, right? Three catches, 26 yards. Again, it's not a breakout. It's not a sort of magical performance, but it is Kendrick maybe stepping up to that next level of opportunity that has been afforded to him. And then the post game, I really enjoy Saban commenting along the lines of not being surprised that Law was going to step up when he was called upon. And I think there was something in his usage of the term called upon that resonated with me, probably is going to resonate with Alabama fans, and maybe a callback to players on the Alabama team last year that were called upon and they were not ready. And so Saban specifically spoke to Law putting in the work such that when it's time for him to be called upon, there's zero surprise that he's up to the challenge and he's ready to go. And I think that is a message. There's a nested sort of layered message, and it doesn't mean anything to the guys that have gone on and not had nearly any production. And I think combined, if they've not had the production that Law had on Saturday, that have moved on to other programs. But I think that's a message to the youngsters on the team. Get ready, stay ready, be ready, because we're going to need you at some point. And again, there's still games to be played, and there's still youngsters that will have an opportunity to shine before the end of the season. So that's super exciting. Hopefully there are others that are sort of preparing themselves in much the same way. Running back Jace McClellan, boy, he was ready when he was called upon. He had just a monster workhorse performance day, 19 carries, 84 yards, 4.4 carries. Again, nothing spectacular, nothing raised the roof, nothing, you know, strike a Heisman pose, and nothing about those numbers suggests that. But damn it, when the team needed something, Jace was there to deliver. And so, again, that's exactly the type of performances. When we talk about the Alabama standard, we talk about, you know, we think of it in terms of blowing teams out, and that's fine, but it's the component parts and Law practicing, preparing himself, overcoming injury, not tanking the season for himself. The team as a whole sort of rising up. Damn it, it's two losses. Our goals, our visions, we don't even know what this feels like, but let's rise up and play this opponent. And Jace, coming back from knee injury, sort of lost in the shuffle, if you will, and at the running back position, Roy Dell was even getting opportunities and reps ahead of him. And Jace said, I'm ready, coach. I'm ready when you're ready. And he took the baton and really, truly had a monster performance on Saturday. Gibbs had an ankle tweak, and so he was out. I feel bad for Gibbs. You know, I think this is not what he signed up for when he left Georgia Tech to come to Alabama. He thought that he was going to be an integral part in potentially helping the Tide win a national title. He was on a betting board for Heisman opportunities because of his talent. He's not lost any of that talent. It's just the season's an enigma in a lot of ways, and we'll roll forward. We've talked about coaching and play calling and stuff. We're not going to dive into that real deep, but I think, boy, Gibbs with Sark would have been something special, or Lane or Loxley, or at any rate. Offensive line, I think the offensive line just had a bad day. Not just a bad day, they had a really bad day. And it's not just a bad day amongst of a bunch of good days. This offensive line has just continued to struggle all season. Just when we think it's going to turn a corner and get better, and, you know, this line plays better with Seth, or let's figure out the pressures at the A-gaps, and we rotate some of the guards, and we get actually to the starting line that we predicted in the preseason, the line hasn't risen up and played at a level that we would expect. Although when Jace had his couple of possessions where he was really putting his yards together, the offensive line seemed to relish playing with that physicality. The pulling, Ekuor had a tremendous pulling play where he knocked our Otis Reese just flat on his ass. And so the team seemed to relish that physicality, but it was filled with just subpar play and bonehead play. I'm a Seth McLaughlin fanboy, as you've heard and listened here, but that snap on fourth down was just atrocious. Everyone in the world, no one in the stadium, you know, catch them on surprise, I guess, but catch our own guys on surprise, right? No one in the stadium expected that snap to happen, and it wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't by design. It was an error, and maybe the signaling, you know, Bryce trying to line people up, but again, it reeks of excuse making. In that situation, we're not snapping the ball, so don't snap the ball, and the ball is snapped. That leads to a turnover on downs, and one of Ole Miss's touchdowns came off of that. So lots of bad words is what comes to mind on that play. I sort of tipped my hand, but when you think about mini game balls on offense, I'm going to give two. So I'm going to give a split mini game ball, and I'm going to give one to Emil Ekuor on a pull play. He's the right guard, so he pulled across to the left, knocked Otis Reese on his ass. It was a big run. It was a big gain at that point in the game, and it was part of Alabama got the offense rolling in the running game rolling, and Emil Ekuor was certainly a part of that. And that was a big play. That mini big game ball is easy to give because, CBS went back and showed that again, and it was just a phenomenal play, and it's worth the call out. I'm going to give my other mini game ball, and this was harder to see, although, you know, it was evident there too if you kind of knew what you were looking for. Tyler Booker was back in the game, and so he played. He didn't play last week, and that was never explained, and I don't understand. He did not play against LSU. He'd sort of been in the rotation at the offensive line. He did the rotation in the offensive line against Tennessee at Tennessee. And so it's not a road game situation, big crowd where they take him out because he's a freshman with LSU. That doesn't hold water considering where that he had played in Knoxville. And so he didn't play. But he was back this week on the road at Ole Miss, and so he was doing his rotation, two off and then two at left and then two at right and then two out and then two back. And so he was back in that rotation again. At one point in the game, Ekuor went out with an injury, and it looked like it was going to be more severe than that it ended up being. He was only out a play or two, but he was out, was helped off the field. And so Booker, who was in the game at the time, Booker transitioned from left guard to right guard. Cohen came in to play his left guard position. One or two plays later, Ekuor came back in. And so Ekuor was good enough that we've got three starters at guard. And so mid-drive, we put Ekuor back in and then move Booker back to left guard. And then Cohen goes out. And so in the course of like four different plays, maybe three plays, but at least four plays, Booker played, you know, left guard twice and over at right guard. And so he sort of flopped twice on the same drive. That might be, if we try to interpolate that, that might tell us something about, you know, if you have three, you know, we have three guards, right? And so we have three starter quality guards. Okay, well, someone has to be the best, and then someone has to be the second best. And there's a lot of sort of tea leaves to read. Booker didn't play last week, and so that may say, well, that he's the third of the three, and so we play the other two. It could have meant that he was dinged up, that we never, you know, heard anything about, and the media that has an opportunity to ask such questions did not. But you could also look at it and say, well, Ekuor went out and could have just stayed out the rest of that drive, but they wanted to put him back in. That means they think he's certainly one of the better guards, and Cohen is the one that came in and then went back out, and they left Booker. And so they didn't just leave Cohen in. And, you know, it's like when musical chairs, right? There's two spots and the music changes. And so Ekuor came in. So someone's going to have to not play. And it was Cohen that was taken out in that moment. And so that may say, was he the third of the three? I don't know. Something to maybe keep an eye on. Maybe a moot point here just after a couple more games. But I thought that was certainly something interesting to watch, and certainly mini game ball worthy for the way that he sort of swapped around across the offensive line. We've not seen that in quite a while. And frankly, you never really do want to see that. But he came in, and if you didn't know, you wouldn't have known. And so I guess that's what you root for in that situation.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right, let's flip the field and talk defense. Boy, it felt like a bad rope-a-dope. You know, let's let Judkins run until he's too tired to play, and then that'll be our advantage on defense. That's probably not fair, but gosh, it seems like it's not entirely wrong either. Part of that was built on Zach Evans being concussed on a turnover, and so he was out. He was not available to come back in, and Ole Miss is thin. They played the portal real heavy last year. I think brought in 16 players, most of them contributing. So they played it well. And then Judkins being a true freshman, the workload that he is under is significantly higher than what he's historically used to being a freshman. And so he just fatigued. And, you know, that happens. That wasn't our defensive strategy. I'm being a little ridiculous. But gosh, that's how it unfolded. That's how it happened. If after his 35-yard run on that last possession, had he had the stamina to stay in and run the ball four, five, six more times, I think Ole Miss would have scored. He did not. And so that weapon was not available to them. They were forced to pass. And our secondary really rose to the occasion. They've been sort of much maligned this season, but the secondary is still really good, and there's still a significant amount of talent in the secondary. And so they rose to that occasion. So that's certainly something to think about. I think when Lane Kiffin is so just distraught over this loss that they could have and should have won the game from their perspective, I think that's one of them. If they had another running back that could steal a couple snaps over the course of the games so that their power back, Judkins, had some wind. If he were a sophomore and not a freshman, all of these are small things, but they could have potentially contributed to a different outcome on Saturday. But the Tide did, again, what they needed to do and walked away with the win. Think about the things that the Tide needed to win, and we've sort of alluded to some of these. The forced turnover with 2 minutes to go in the half, and so it's almost halftime. Alabama forces a turnover, is able to score a touchdown, which gets it down to a three-point game. At that point, it's a two-score game. You score the touchdown there, it's a three-point game, and you know coming out of half, or the Alabama knows coming out of half, that they're going to get the ball back. So you basically steal a possession. We've talked about this before, right? You know, it's sort of something that a lot of people don't notice that can happen. Is you can get bang bang possessions at the end of half and coming out of half, and we've seen teams score, you know, two times there. Sometimes 10 points, you know, sometimes two touchdowns, and so that's like a cheap extra possession. And with 2 minutes left to go in the half, and Ole Miss running the ball, they probably would have been happy just to run off the half, but certainly maybe get down, score a field goal or something, but not turn over the ball and give it to Alabama to get that free sort of back-to-back possessions. And so that certainly worked out for the Tide. There was, you know, the Alabama defense really stood up and forced punts late in the third quarter, you know, breaking the Ole Miss serve. I call it breaking serve, right? And so, you know, Alabama scores to get it within a score, or scores to tie it, and Ole Miss gets the ball. So they, you know, the opponent has the ball with an opportunity to take the lead. And it sort of cycled through that way a couple times. Late in the third quarter, Alabama was able to force Ole Miss to punt in that situation. There were a couple of possessions trading where really Alabama had you know, the serve kind of batted back and forth. But then finally Alabama was able to score to take the lead, so that Ole Miss, when they got the ball, they weren't playing necessarily to take the lead, but to, they were playing from a position of being behind. And field goals, touchdowns, and all that stuff, you know, you can accomplish both those. But there's an element of breaking serve there. And so when you take the possession away from the opponent where they can take the lead, now we can take the lead, that's an important thing. And so the Alabama defense there late in the third did that. And then three more possessions over the course of the fourth quarter all netted out in empty possessions for Ole Miss, including the final possession where, thanks to the 35-yard run from Judkins, he just wasn't able to come back in. Ole Miss ended up with a first down on the Alabama 14. it's a 6-point game. And so you can see what could have happened there. They hit a pass back of the end zone, score a touchdown kick. Now they're up by one, and it's Alabama scrambling with shards of time left to maybe try to kick a long field goal to win it. And the defense said, nope, that's not how we're going to do it today. We're going to bend, but we're not going to break. And they made some phenomenal plays, you know, there at the end. Again, the theme of what we want versus what we need. We want to not give up a 35-yard rush on a second and one. But what we needed was Byron Young to have his best day of his career, I think. And then we needed Brian Branch to tip that last pass in the end zone. And those are the things we got. And, again, that was phenomenal, exactly what we needed. I want to call out some individual players, and I had some mixed bag thoughts as we run through these. But we did talk about Byron Young across the defensive front. Clearly, certainly had his best day of the season. I think he had his best day of probably his career. He was in on 11 tackles. He had two sacks Saturday against Ole Miss, which match his sack total for all of 2021. So that was nice. He had a big pass deflection. You know, the youngster from Laurel, Mississippi, just had a big day playing Ole Miss. And you take a lot of, you know, you got to feel good for a kid in that situation. And certainly we do. DeMarco Hellams was in on 11 tackles. He too had a big day. Terrion Arnold, he was in on 10 tackles. In fact, he had 10 tackles. He didn't share those with anybody. But he persisted against adversity. When he came into the game, immediately he was identified as a mismatch opportunity, which that, I think, really goes into the coaching and prep that the Ole Miss staff had, because there was no indication that Terrion was going to play. And had Eli Ricks not gotten injured on the first play of the game, there's a chance that Terrion would not have played. And so call it the bye week, call it season-long prep, call it whatever you want to, but then immediately when Terrion went in, Ole Miss knew that there was a potential mismatch opportunity. They went to it repeatedly. They had success at it, but Terrion kept battling and battling and battling. That's part of the reason he had 10 unassisted tackles, because they kept going to him. But Terrion also had two pass deflections and just ended up having a phenomenal day. Toa Toa is an enigma to me. He will play at times just absolutely lights out, and he's everywhere, and he's making the tackles and making the plays and diagnosing, getting people lined up. And then there will be times where he will just be absent and you can't find him on the field. And then Saturday was a little bit of both. He was where he needed to be, attempting to make plays. But, you know, and especially on run fits, he would diagnose and he would be in position to make the run fit. But he seemed like he was about 20, 25 pounds light in the middle of that defense trying to make tackles. And he would grab someone and hold on for help. I'm surprised that I think only four of his 7 tackles were credited, or 4 of his 11 sack tackles were credited as solos. And I'm surprised he had that many solos, to be honest with you. It seemed like every time he was grabbing someone, he was in need of assistance. Again, I'd rather be someone plugging the hole, making the grab, as opposed to leaving the hole unattended. But it'd be nice to have a thumper pushing back the runner. And we definitely could have used that a couple of times in short yarded situations. But anyways, Toa Toa has been a little bit of an enigma for me. And I guess it is what it is. Deontay Lawson demonstrated for me why he is earning playing time. We talked about him as a potential platoon. He certainly lived up to and exceeded, I think, that potential. He made a tremendous play batting away a ball, linebacker in coverage, so you got to give him a little bit of credit there. And let me just say this out loud. You know, Deontay Lawson, guys, you know, meet the star of the defense for 2023. I think he's really going to make a name for himself as he gets more and more opportunity. Dallas Turner, I say, settle down, young man. Man, be aggressive, but keep it within the confines of what's legal, what's inappropriate. He got one flag on just the helmet rip off the head of Jackson Dart. I think Turner knew, you know, I just in the moment shouldn't have done that. He had another instance where he tackled the quarterback and sort of shoved his head back in the ground. look like almost like the longest yard style, prison yard football, slamming someone back down. That could have, perhaps should have been flagged. It wasn't. So call it another miss by the officials. There were a number on Saturday. We've seen a number on the season. We won't get into all that. But Dallas Turner, let's keep it between sort of the – let's keep it on the field and let's keep it sort of between the whistles in an appropriate manner. And Jordan Battle, I love you, but get some stickum on those gloves and reel in that interception next time. Mini game ball on defense. I've already said, you know, kind of what I have to say, but mini game ball for Terry and Arnold. I love the persistence that he had. That is the Alabama standard. That level of persistence, and hopefully that can serve as a tremendous demonstration to his fellow teammates. All right, special teams. There's not a whole lot I want to say about special teams. Will Reichert was 3 of 3 with a long of 49. He had 12 points when you factor in the PATs. God bless Will Reichert on this team, especially Saturday. Alabama needed every one of those 12 points. So great day by Will. Burnup, I think he had a good day, 4 for 44, or 4 averaging 44. He had a long of 50, and he had one inside the 20. And for Grins, I went and looked at the Ole Miss punter. Now, he had a bad day. He averaged 34 and had a long of 34. So his long was Burnup's average. And I'll say this, and you won't see many people sort of call it out, and I'm not trying to call out an individual necessarily, but you talk about Lane's sort of frustration. If their punter had done what our punter did, Ole Miss might have won the game. And so talk about the hidden yards and the subtleties, and Alabama got good field position a couple of times on the back of a bad punt. And I think if their guy had matched our guy just from a number standpoint, Ole Miss might would have won the game.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, next up, Austin Peay comes to town. And I'm going to tell you what, if you enjoy the interviews that we do, we've got a really special one coming up this week. And so stay tuned for that. And I'm going to put this out here. It's sort of an unofficial, call it meetup, for the Alabama football podcast group. There's a Some of this has been, and I've alluded to it, maybe I've talked to it, I don't know, but I've certainly alluded to it, something special coming with sort of the Zoom crew and sort of the support people that are part of sort of the support team. And that's this weekend. That's Austin Peay. So there's a group that has sort of been talking about this and talking around doing this for really the better part of a year. And it's coming to fruition. We literally have people coming from from all over the country to come together to meet up in Tuscaloosa, go to the game together, hang out for multiple days, see the sights in Tuscaloosa, you know, drink bourbon around campfires, like just all sorts of good stuff. And so join the support team, get on the Zoom calls and participate in that forum. And you'll have an opportunity to do, you know, do that next year, because I assume this very easily could be something of an annual event. And then unofficially, that's official. Like we're like, that's for real. We're doing that. And, you know, next year you can join us. And all those sort of bells and whistles of how to do that are available, present. And, you know, hit me up on email and we'll talk it through. Unofficially, there are a number of other people that are not going and sort of staying and doing like the full thing. But they're also in town and they've asked, hey, how do we sort of meet up and hang out and at least sort of, you know, have a drink and chat and all that stuff. So, so I'd say unofficially, we are doing a meetup at Sessions, probably my favorite bar in Tuscaloosa. It's downtown and we're meeting up right after the game. We have reservations. So if you're in Tuscaloosa and you're a big fan of the podcast and you want to come, you know, have a drink, come on, and we'll be at Sessions after the game, so look for us there. But with that, I think that's all I've got in terms of stuff we wanted to cover. This was an important win for Alabama. This is an important win for this team, the identity of this team. This team is not going to be the champion that we thought it was going to be, but this team could have folded, and it didn't. It rose to the occasion. Whatever sort of anxiety, however we want to talk about that, and I have sort of mixed thoughts on that, however we want to talk about that, this team embraced the challenge and they rose to the occasion. And this is not like your father's Ole Miss team, or this is not your older brother's Ole Miss team. This is a legit Ole Miss team. Over the course of the Saban era, the Saban sort of time frame, this team has beaten us twice, 2 years in a row, and has taken us, has taken Alabama to the wire quite a number of times. Two years ago, last time in Oxford, just an incredible shootout. Style game. This game was less of a shootout, but its outcome was in jeopardy for nearly the entire contest. We talk about another game where Alabama wins it in the closing seconds. This is it. This is essentially on the final play. I mean, Alabama got the ball. There was enough seconds that we had to take a knee, but literally on the final play of play, the game was in question. And this Ole Miss team gave Alabama everything they wanted. Had Alabama not come out ready to face the challenge, they would have gotten run out of the building. Easily a two-touchdown loss it could have been had this team not come to play. And so I'm really proud of the heart this team demonstrated. It's too late for it to – you know what? It's not too late for it to mean something, because every time they step on the field, it means something. And so to go out against – Austin Peay, and then finish the regular season with Auburn. Those two wins, this win against Ole Miss, improve the caliber, the quality of bowl game that Alabama will go to, which is a reward experience for the players. So these wins do mean something. And then that extra practice time, the later the bowl is, more sort of prep. I know it's 20 hours and all that, but in the program, part of the process, come on, you know what I'm saying. It's a greater opportunity for the reward of those players, for those players, and that additional practice time, I think, will bode well for these youngsters. So these are meaningful games that Alabama has left. It's not the title that we were chasing, but it's the work that this team needs to raise itself to the standard that Alabama is looking for, and certainly Saban is looking for as well. All right. That's my mini rant to finish the podcast. We appreciate every one of you for tuning in and listening. Please go to your podcast sort of source and leave us a review. We like the 5 stars. That helps with people finding us. Subscribe. That helps with the rankings and all of that stuff, and help us sort of grow what we're doing here, if indeed you enjoy it. And of course, if you want to participate in sort of the insider group, I'm recording this at, it is 5:52 Eastern Sunday night. This probably, when we get it off to our awesome producer and in my work week, I try to find time to get to post this back out. It might be Tuesday before this gets posted and you guys can download it. It's going to, the raw version with all my mistakes and all of that, it's going to be posted probably in the next 10 minutes. And so you get access to everything that we record, the raw version of it, And plus, you know, the Zoom calls are pretty phenomenal. And then we get to do cool stuff like meet up in Tuscaloosa and all that kind of good stuff. All right. Stop rambling on that. But if you're interested, please, please be interested. And if you're interested, please, please act on being interested. Reach out. Drop me an email, alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll take care of all your questions and certainly go from there. All right, enough. With that, this has been, say it with me, another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course, Roll Tide.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save